I want to look this morning at being ready. Matthew 24, and starting from verse 36, says this: "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then chapter 25 and verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" We're living in perilous times, and certainly in my short lifetime, I've never known a time as perilous as the ones that we're living in. The very fabric of society, the foundations of our nation's laws and norms that we were built on have been eroded and rejected. And this morning I could write you a big list of doom and gloom of all the things going on out there. And I'm sure this morning that you're all very well aware. We see the church in our land falling away from the truth. As Jesus forewarned, didn't he, that there would be a great falling away in the last days. We see the acceptance of heresy. We see false teachings. We see loose morals, the church is becoming apostate. And then out beyond the church, you see the disruption of the nations, wars, rumours of wars, the wind and the waves are roaring, all those things, pestilence, plague, the end of the age. We're at the end of the age, aren't we? The Lord's return is imminent. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know that the Lord is coming back soon. And we want to be those that are ready. Those that are counted worthy to escape all these things, as it tells us, But for that, we need to be ready. We need to be watching. We need to be praying. We need to make sure our lamps are filled with oil. The foolish virgins are a warning to us as believers. These were virgins. They were believers. All the virgins had lamps. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. But it was only the wise virgins who had bought enough oil who entered the kingdom. They all trimmed their lamps. But as you know, a lamp is of no use if it's got no oil. It's the oil that provides the fuel for the light. And if the lamps aren't producing light, they're of no use. And the conclusion that Jesus used at the end of this story for the 10 virgins is to quote, "Watch therefore." We need to be watching, or we too will run out of oil and not produce the light. You know, this theme of watching and praying and being ready is repeated again and again and again throughout the New Testament. To watch, to be sober, to watch unto prayer. It warns us about the danger of not being watchful, is that the return of the Lord can overtake us. That we could end up losing out on our very salvation. Because Jesus is coming, it says, as a thief in the night, isn't it? And we need to be ready, being found faithful when he returns. The foolish virgins ended up outside of the marriage supper. Jesus said to them, "I never knew you." This is serious, isn't it? If we care at all this morning about our own souls, we need to be a people who are watching and praying, always on our guard, and even more so in the days in which we live. As we see things drawing to a close, and as we know that the return of the Lord is imminent, we need to be on our guard, don't we? To be found awake and sober when the Lord returns. The greatest danger that we face as Christians in this life is our inner battle, isn't it? We're all made this morning of weak flesh. Our hearts are fickle. And if you and I aren't daily remaining and abiding in that life of Christ, we can quickly return to those old ways of our carnal life, our old fleshly life. We can soon slide back into old mindsets, old cares, the old self. When we're faced with temptation, if we're not watchful, we will fall. We will fail. We will stumble because we're walking in our own fleshly weakness instead of the power and the strength of the Lord. Jesus said, didn't he, about remaining in the vine. And if you don't remain in the vine, you will wither and die. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. We can't stand in our own strength this morning, can we? We need the power of God. We need the armour of God. We need the weapons of our warfare. We need to be those who are walking in the spirit, not the flesh. Watching unto prayer. Having our mind set on things above, not on the things below. The danger when we choose not to watch is a perilous one. We're putting our soul at risk because we're not holding fast to those things that we've been given in Christ. Guarding that precious salvation, that pearl of great price. We can't be complacent, can we? We live in the lukewarm age. But you can't live in the world and in the Spirit of God, can you? We have an enemy who's pursuing us. We are in a world that is fallen. We face dangers both within and without. The Bible tells us that we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. There's a spiritual warfare. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the enemies that you and I face on a daily basis. But our priority in life has to be our relationship with God. He is our salvation. Without him, we can't be saved. We need him every moment of every day. We can't fight the battle without God. The failure in human nature is that we think we can somehow manage without God on a daily basis. You know, when we grew up and we learned how to survive in life, how to get by. We learned growing up how to deflect the blows that life threw at us, how to build up walls of protection around ourselves to avoid being hurt. We learned it from the kindergarten upwards in the school playground with our mates and our work colleagues. We learned how to cope, but deep down inside we were still insecure. We were still unsure of ourselves, still weak and still in need of the love of God in our lives. But you and I, we don't have to live behind those walls anymore, do we? We're accepted in Christ. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to just merely survive or hold on with our fingernails. In Christ, we can live. We can have life. We can know the love and acceptance of God. We can have true security this morning. Yet too often we revert to the old ways, the old securities, and we can also grow complacent, can't we? That's one of the biggest dangers, is becoming complacent in our lives, getting caught up in the cares and concerns and the worries of this life, going back to that old survival mentality instead of relying on God for our daily needs. But we can't go back. What is there for us to go back to this morning? Emptiness, misery, meaningless existence, getting by, survival. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just get by. I want to live. I want life. And the only place we find that life is in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The enemy wants us to go back to the old life, to our old mindsets, to our old sins, the old way of living. The only way we can avoid that tragedy this morning is by keeping watch over our souls, guarding that precious salvation that we've been given. How do we watch? What does it mean? A big part of being watchful is taking care and looking out for our own souls. When a shepherd watches his flock, he looks out for it. He looks out for the dangers, for the wolves, for anything that could harm the flock. He cares for the flock. He feeds it. He gives the flock water. He leads and guides them through the perils they face. We need to care for ourselves in the same way, to make sure our soul is fed and watered by the word of God and prayer, to always be on our guard against anything that could bring us harm. Just like a watchman on the city walls, looking out for attackers, intruders, guarding the city gates, we need to guard the gateway of our hearts from all the things that would be a danger to us. Sin, compromise, heresy, false teaching. To be considering our spiritual state before the Lord. Search me, O God, and make sure there's no wicked way in me. Allowing God to penetrate our stubborn hearts and let him show us his will for us. Show us our need to change. Let him search our hearts daily. Let his light penetrate every nook and cranny of our lives. If we want to be watchful, we have to have an open heart before God, a willing heart before God, and be in prayer daily to God. You know, a lot of the scriptures about being ready, about watching, are related with prayer. How can God direct us if we don't pray? Prayer is our communication line to God. But it has to also be combined with an open heart if we're going to hear what God's saying to us. He that has ears to hear, let him hear, it tells us, doesn't it? If we need to be a people that are praying. It says in the scripture, you have not because you ask not. He who asks, receive. If we are praying in line with the will of God, then we'll receive from God that revelation, that guidance, that wisdom, that knowledge, that forgiveness, that healing, that mercy, or our simple daily provisions. God, prayer is vital to our walk with God. Watch unto prayer lest you enter into temptation, Jesus warned us. And an important part of keeping right with God is daily repentance. We have to keep our hearts clean before God, don't we? A scripture in Revelation 16 tells us, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. What garments does it mean? It's the garments of righteousness. And you can only keep those clean if you bring all your sin under the blood of Jesus. Because only the blood of Christ can wash our garments, can't it, from all defilement. And we can only find cleansing as we confess and repent of our sin before God. And repentance isn't just a one-off event that we do to become Christians. Unless, of course, this morning you've never sinned since you got saved. Which the Bible tells us if we do say that, we're a liar. We make God a liar. It says if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth isn't in us. In order to keep our hearts right before God, we have to daily bring our failings and sins to the Lord, don't we? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm not talking about the Catholic confession mentality this morning, where you can need to keep, take Mass every day in order to be saved. We were justified once and for all through the blood of the Lamb. We're covered by the blood as believers, but if we continue in unconfessed sin, then we're not walking in fellowship with God, are we? We're not walking in the light, we're walking in darkness. You can't walk in the light and still be walking in darkness too. If we persist in sin, our garments are defiled. Our fellowship with God is broken. We need to remain in the light. And we do that by daily making part of our prayers. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Repentance is our daily walk, isn't it? And it's part of keeping our garments. We do that because we need to be watchful, not careless, not presumptuous, to be diligent in prayer, to let God search our hearts, to show us if there's any wicked way in us. We don't often know our own hearts, do we? We're easily deceived, especially by our own selves, our own foolish pride. See, only God knows the true state and condition of each of our hearts. And it's only the Holy Spirit who can bring that conviction of sin to us. That leads us to repentance. And the Bible teaches, doesn't it, that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Psalm 32 is a prayer of David, who was a godly man, an example to us all who desire to be godly of how they should be before God. A great reminder to us of God's great mercy and his willingness to forgive sins. Psalm 32 says this: "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." I like this verse. "For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him." You see, if we're godly, we'll pray to God in a time when he may be found. We'll acknowledge our sin. He said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Daniel 9 and 20 says, "Now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God." Here's Daniel praying to the Lord. He says, confessing his sin and the sins of his people. You know, it's often said that we need to keep a short list before God, isn't it? It's when we don't pray and we begin to hide from God. You know, just like Adam did in the garden, We begin to harden our hearts to God. Our hearts begin to grow cold. Isn't that what it tells us will happen in the last days? The love of many will wax cold. We need our hearts to remain tender before God. Open, transparent, not trying to cover up our sin or hide him from God, but allowing him to come in and change us, to break up that fallow ground in our lives. You know, when land isn't regularly ploughed, it becomes hard, it becomes fallow, unproductive, barren, infested with weeds and thorns. We need the fallow ground in our hearts to be broken up, ploughed by the Spirit of God, sown with the Word of God, so that we can begin to produce good fruit, have hearts that are clean and right before God. We face many dangers, don't we? Hypocrisy, pride, unbelief, lust, greed, fears, lies, deceit, hatred, bitterness, apathy, just to name but a few. But the only way we can keep our hearts clear and clean of these is through that daily meditation on the Word of God, daily prayer, daily repentance before God. You know, God knows what we're like anyway. We don't surprise God, do we? He knows what's in man. He knew us before we were saved, but still chose to save us, thank God. But the act of confessing and repentance and acknowledging of our sin brings both healing, forgiveness, and it renews our fellowship with God. When our hearts are clean, we can begin to pray in faith for all that God lays on our hearts, tell others about God and proclaim his salvation. But if we're walking in guilt and our own strength and the getting by mentality, how can we be effective? How can we help others? How can we intercede for others if we can't even watch for ourselves? Remember too that we have an active enemy. He walks around, the Bible says, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, if we're not watching or we're careless with the salvation we've been given, we are easy prey for the enemy. That's why Peter said to be sober, to be vigilant. Apathy makes us drunk with the wine of complacency. Spiritual drunkenness leads to death and decay in the Christian life. We need to watch and pray. We're living in perilous times. If we're not watching, if we're not keeping our garments, if we are, as the Bible terms it, carousing in the daytime, weighed down with drunkenness and the cares and the worries of this life, then we're in danger of that day overtaking us as a thief and not being ready when the Master returns. And we can't complain that we've not been warned, can we? The wise virgins kept their lamps trimmed, burning and filled with oil. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. If we continue in the things we've learned and received, praying daily, keeping our hearts clean, feeding on the Word, continuing in that fellowship with the Lord, being open to his voice and willing to obey, then we will not be found sleeping, but we'll be ready by the grace of God when he returns. And we all want to hear those words, don't we? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here with fear in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the oil that we need, isn't it? In our lamps. If we continue to be watchful, and as Peter tells us, spends our time on earth that remains in the fear of God, turning from all unrighteousness, pursuing godliness and holiness in all our conduct, then he says we'll never stumble. We'll be of those that are found faithful. Amen. Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That suggests, doesn't it, that if we're counted worthy to escape all these things, that we can escape all these things that are coming if we're faithful, if we watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. A bit of a theme going on here. Revelation 3:2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. There's a warning. Revelation 16:15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Amen. Amen. We need to be watchful, church. We need to be ready. Amen. In these days. Amen.